It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Wrapping up here on Take Command, Logan Paulson there, Craig Hoffman here, and let's take a look at Jaden Daniels' day. Logan, I think the first thing that we should talk about before we get to the passing game, and there's missed throws, there's drops, there's all that kind of stuff, is Jaden Daniels has been incredible as a scrambler and as a runner in general this year. Pittsburgh completely shut that down. How did they do it?
I mean, they had a great plan. I think you see their awareness of what he is and what he can do. I mean, every single time there's times where he's just doing like a handoff and he's like a token zone read fake. Like there's no blocking to support the zone read. And TJ Watt is like basically tackling him. You know what I mean? Like it's like he's not tackling him, but he's going to hit him. He's going to wrap him up. And I just thought they were like, you're not going to do this. And there is some psychology to this. Jeez, there we go. To kind of get the quarterback to be like, I don't want to do this. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to pull it because they're so aware of that I've got it. So I think back to the Pittsburgh 49ers Super Bowl, right? Which was, Baltimore 49ers Super Bowl a couple years ago. A couple years ago now, it was probably like 2013 or 12. Yeah. And Colin Kaepernick was lighting the NFL on fire with the quarterback run stuff. And Baltimore was basically like, you know what we're going to do? Every single time he does it, we're going to hit him because he's a runner. Like that's the designation in the rule. Like you are a runner, right. We can hit you. And basically like it just killed that element of their offense. And I felt like they weren't that physical with Jaden, the level that they were with Colin Kaepernick back in 12 or whatever that was. But they were incredibly aware and they were very, very like, we're going to grab you. We're going to make you think about it. We're going to, you know, we want you to know that we know that you're thinking about doing this and we don't want you to do it. And so there's a couple times where that awareness hurt them. Like Austin Ekeler had a 10-yard run where Highsmith is beelining to him and he hands it off and Eckler's able to cut it back kind of in the zone that he's vacated. But I do think that to me is kind of the main thing is they were just like, we're not going to let you do what you want to do. And that and sometimes that's all it takes is just like the defensive coordinator showing Cliff that, hey, don't do this unless you want to get your quarterback a shot to the ribs. And I know he's a little bit banged up. And I think that's to me what it felt like.
Yeah, it almost felt like, hey, if you're an edge player and you're unblocked, whether it's true zone read or fake zone read, you go to the quarterback. If you sense you're unblocked, do not worry about a read. Your read is go, and we will take care of the front side. And that's where Deshaun Elliott and Patrick Queen and all these guys that have so much speed, and obviously Cam Hayward and the eating of the blocks and Keanu Benton and on down the list. These guys are so good that they can stop the run without the extra player. And so, yeah, technically you have the numbers if you're Washington, but it's like just don't let him pull the backside and get the 40-yarder. We don't want him to get out on the edge. And I think the other thing, though, is from a scrambling standpoint, was there anything particular that they did where he also wasn't able to escape the pocket and pick up, you know, some of the first downs and things with his legs that we've seen keep this offense on schedule all year long?
Yeah, I think this is a good case study in showing how to rush well with four and rush well with five and the importance of compressing the pocket. Because people always talk, oh, well, quick wins and unabated to the rusher. And like when you're doing defensive line stuff, you're like, oh my gosh, look at this rush. But there's a lot of value, especially internally, if you can get quick power on a guard and collapse that pocket, right? Because like one of the things that they did a good job of was Cam Hayward's getting long arms on guys and the pocket just, there's no running lane. It just perfectly compresses around him. It's almost like it's like a noose tightening around him. So the only way he can vacate is if he goes deep. And we talked about this in the pregame show, but basically like that's where TJ Watt hunts, right? He's the shark. That's the deep water. So you could tell Jaden's like, I don't really want to be back there. So let me try to step up. And there's no space. And there's a couple times where it looked like there was space, but they did a great job because we talked about the five-man rushes where they're stunting the two defensive tackles. He's getting pressure here, like to his left. Right. And then they loop a linebacker around and then he's just right in that hole vacated by the defensive line. So they just, in terms of disciplined power rushes from the interior of that group, it was excellent. And so on the sideline, you're like, because usually he does a great job getting back there. He can kind of find a little grass and then scoot out. But you could just tell that group was like a well-oiled machine in terms of being like, nope. It wasn't like they spied. It just, like, it's a thing that like Ron used to talk about all the time. Like, hey, we need to rush together. We need to rush as four. And it never kind of happened to me.
Easy to say, hard to do.
Yeah. And to me, this was just like, you want to like clinic tape on how to do it? Like, these guys are going to be selfless. They're going to bull these guys back. They're not trying to get sacks. Like, credit to Cam Hayward and Keanu Benton, because like there's times where you could win quick, but I know I got to power this thing in and again constrict that sucker up. And it was a lot of fun. That was fun for me to watch because it's like football nerdy stuff. But to me, that's the reason that he couldn't scramble, is because they were just so aware and they were so even TJ, to his credit. Like, usually he's ripping the edge all the time, really working. He was so disciplined with his position. Highsmith was incredibly disciplined. And so really credit to that group, because they came in, they knew where he could hurt you, and they said, you're not going to do that to us.
And yet, there were so many opportunities.
So many ops. Yeah.
From a passing game standpoint, obviously, some of the throws downfield to Terry, he was not afraid of Joey Porter Jr. You want a corner who actually had a bad game? Joey Porter Jr. got torched left, right, and sideways, specifically by Terry McLaurin and Noah Brown. But obviously, there's some stuff left on the field. What do you make of how Jaden performed as a passer, both from a decision-making and an act? It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in, trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Accuracy standpoint.
Yeah, I actually thought he made good decisions. There was one early in the game that was a little bit tough, but it was like this sick look, you know, like when you see cool stuff. Teams run this all the time, but basically, like, you know, Tampa 2, they got that Mike linebacker that runs out of there, right?
Yeah.
And so what they did is Tampa did a really cool coverage thing. They kind of had the safety sitting in a two shell structure. They got the Mike linebacker, who was the safety in this case, dropping like it's Tampa 2. And then it actually inverts and rotates to cover 3. And so Jaden is getting ready to throw this ball like it's cover 2. It's the one that is behind Noah Brown early in the game. I think everyone's like, well, that's a bad miss. That's a bad miss. To me, it felt like versus Tampa 2, that's where the ball should go. And then it's like, oh, damn, this is actually cover 3. And those are hook players. And Micah Fitzpatrick is about to pick this ball off. Let me get this to the back shoulder of Noah Brown real quick. So, like, even that recognition in that short time is pretty cool, and a really sick disguise there, honestly, by Pittsburgh. But I just – the one thing I will say is he felt a little off from an accuracy standpoint, just a little bit. And there was a couple times where that pocket's compressing around him, specifically on the one to OZ, where he's kind of crossing the field. They're running like what I would call like a knife concept off a pop pass action. So they pull the guard. He's got a man beater. He's coming across the field. It kind of plays like pop pass, but the combination is knife, so – through and then a dig behind it. And he does a great job kind of stepping, avoiding a little bit of a rush. His base is a little bit off. So the thing about Jaden to me is he's always able to get to a good base, but if he's not balanced in the base, sometimes the ball will just tail ever so slightly. So he kind of does a quick shuffle. His base is pretty good, but as he throws it, he kind of opens his hips and falls away a little bit because the rush is coming, and the ball is got great velocity, it's got great spin. It just kind of tails just ever so slightly to the left. And OZ is running to space, but it's got a little bit too much juice on it. It's tailing a little bit too much, and he just can't get there. And so that's a play where, and that happened probably, I'd say 5 times, where the rush just got a little bit tight. The ball comes out a little bit too fast, and we missed the throw. So,
yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because that was something that I thought during the game as well. And part of the kind of he was sped up was he was firing fastballs. Yeah. All over the place. And I thought his decision making was mostly really good. Like, there's not a lot of times where I'm like, oh, he missed a bunch of this, or and there's like one or two where he's got opportunities that he maybe could have thrown something bigger or whatever. But like, that's every single quarterback game that we've ever watched. He mostly is going the right place with the football, but the accuracy is a little bit off. And sometimes it was just purely the velocity. And like that knife to OZ, like, just put that sucker out there where he can go catch it. Not like it's like a 10-yard pass. So it's not like you're lobbing it, you know, Russell Wilson moonball, but like, just just lay it out there. Let him run under it. You don't need to fire it on his body as he's running across the field. Obviously, the drop by Diami in the end zone is a horrendous drop. It hits him. You can't hit him between the numbers because he wears number two. But you, like, you hit him in the chest. But that also, like, that was a laser beam. And it probably didn't have to be. And there's a couple of others as well where it just feels like he mentally was going, I got to get the ball out now. And it just chucks it. And I think some of the drops were that too, where his touch has been so impeccable all year long. And between the accuracy and the touch, some of the incompletions started to stack up in a way that they just haven't this year. And again, the decision-making is good. I don't think that's like a long-term problem. It was the best defense he's probably faced all year. The pocket's getting constricted. But I did. I think that's such a astute observation, and the speeding up of it and how it manifests is like, sometimes it's just like, if you take the same decision, the same throw, and slow your arm down a half a second, you probably have a completion there.
And it, to me, it's like he's got such a nice compact release. It was just like how he was flicking it. Like you said, like it's like I'm away from the rush, and I was just a little bit too juiced. Even the one to Luke late in the game that we talked about that he kind of missed deep. Like brilliant decision. Way to buy a little time. Like, great job. But like, you've done such a good job, to your point, of like just putting a little little feather on it, right? Just a little feather on it. Because the one thing that that does allow you to do is it limits the need for pinpoint accuracy, right?
Right.
Because these are the best receivers in the world. They can adjust to that football now. Even the one OZ, if I put a little touch on it, he can take a different angle. He can adjust to that ball and make that catch. Same thing with Luke. It's a little bit of touch, like I can make it happen for you. And again, he makes a great throw to Terry. He did some really nice stuff, tight window stuff to Noah Brown. You know, like there's some good stuff in there, but there was just a little bit of, and to me, I think it's reflective of kind of the whole offense. And, you know, maybe he's such a big part of the offense, that's why you feel it. But, you know, like the one to Zach, like great throw to Zach over the middle of the field. And Zach, again, right in the chest, and drops it. And so there was a couple of those where you're like, damn, like, and the one to Luke on the sideline, we just talked about that. Again, is that a tough catch? But is that a play that I've seen him make in practice like 30 times? Like,
and it's also a throw that Jaden typically makes. Like, it's a drop by Luke, so I'm not trying to shift blame, but also like that ball's a little bit late and inside.
Yeah.
And if it's a little bit more outside, it's obviously, I mean, you would know it's a much easier catch going on an out when you can get to keep going out versus trying to slow your body and come back inside to it. So like, those are the kinds of throws that he's made pretty perfectly all year, which is why his completion percentage is outrageous. It's like 70%+. He's had the 80s, the Cincinnati game where he's in the 90s. Like, he's been so unbelievably perfect all year that he finally got sped up a little bit, and he still has a pretty good game because, as you said, like the throw on the sideline, I mean, we saw some of the best deep balls that you'll see all year in this game between Russ and Jaden, the deep ball on the sideline to Terry. Like, that was sick. You know, he hits that RPO to Terry on the slant to start the second half. Like, that's a perfect ball. So he has plenty of fantastic stuff in this game, but it just, the constriction, everything gets a little bit tighter and sped up, and then you get a couple more incompletions than you're used to. And again, in a 1-point game, everything matters. A couple more of those, and perhaps this thing is a little bit different. Anything else to wrap up here, Logan?
No, I'm really excited for the preview on Wednesday, and I'm excited for this game, man. I'm really, really excited because, like, how do you bounce back from something like this? And I can't wait to see. Because, again, I think they're going to be kicking themselves when they watch this film. Like, man, defensively, we're 5 plays away. Offensively, we're 10 plays away. Like, that are plays that we can make, you know, and I think that's the thing that really sticks out to me. You know, it's just like, man, and hopefully they take that, they're motivated, and they get after it going into this Philly game.
So we'll tackle all that tomorrow. Until then, thanks for watching and listening. Hit subscribe wherever you are doing so right now. And for Logan, I'm Craig. See you tomorrow on Take Command.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.